Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening and welcome to Eerie House. What is it? It's Oldie Timey Radio. You know, what it was supposed to be on Friday. And here we are. I'm Dale K.
Yep.
I'm Dale K from Spook Show. Accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we are here with the lovely, intelligent, and someone to keep us in line.
Oh, yes, this is CW here, ready to smack the hands of those rapscallion host with the most.
Wait a minute. He's going to slap our hands. I was going to apologize for what happened yesterday with that crazy song from Arthur Godfrey.
Oh, yes. That one, yes, I'm still in, I'm still reeling in shock from that one. A little more therapy, and I'll get over that.
It was very inappropriate.
Oh, God.
Call me Daddy.
Oh, my goodness.
Where did that come
and
from?
And there goes all the therapy. Oh, my goodness. Someone call HR.
I'm telling you. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, do you feel the tendrils of revenge creeping through the cyberspace, coming around your throat for that one? Just a little tighter. Okay. Never mind.
Can't breathe.
Anyway. I may not survive tonight, but our shows are about survival.
It is. Yeah, they are. They are.
Yep. For now, Blog Talk is working, but the clock is ticking.
Yes, T-minus and counting the day before the solar eclipse.
Oh, that's right. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I tell you, is it going to be where you're at, CW? Because I am so tired of hearing about that. It is so overblown in this area. Because I work in news, and all I do is hear solar eclipse, solar eclipse, solar eclipse, solar eclipse.
Makes me want to watch Apocalypto.
or the day the sun exploded or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, solar eclipse saved the hero in Apocalypto. That's a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's the only movie I've ever watched front to back that had zero English in it, and I found it very interesting and engaging.
I'm surprised no one's declared it National Vampire Day because, you know, the sun's going to be covered up for a little bit, so all the vampires can come out at least a little earlier in the day. Oh, yeah.
Don't they have little rings burnt on them, though?
Yeah.
I hereby officially, unofficially declare tomorrow to be National Vampire Day.
Very well.
Day all right. You hear it here, folks. First right here at Erie House. National Vampire Day.
Here you go.
I can buy that.
You got about 10 minutes, guys. Run.
I mean, it's only going to be like a 4-minute eclipse, so. That runs as long as Bonnie Tyler's song did, you know?
There you go.
Oh, total eclipse of the heart.
Yeah.
There you go. And if we weren't shackled by the strains of public domain, we probably would have played a little bit of that for you today.
Yeah.
But it'd probably be overkill. Everybody else is probably doing that one.
I'm sure.
What everybody else ain't doing is playing old-time radio, I'll tell you.
There you go.
Yep. We're getting our survival techniques all set up for our end of the world tomorrow with the eclipse.
Yep.
And hopefully no more earthquakes.
Oh, yeah. There was that, too, wasn't there?
Yeah.
What else can happen? About time for the aliens to land, I think.
I know. Everybody boot up your Slim Whitman. Be at the ready. Get your spam. Spam and Slim Whitman. That's what you need to survive.
So soothing.
There. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all right up there with the goat.
Double dose. Double dose of soothing right there.
Double dose.
Yes, that's my blood a boil, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Most definitely. So I'm all set. Got my tofu. Got my bunker all ready. Got the Twinkies that last for 500 years. So, you know,
yeah. Except you can't find them in Zombieland.
Well, that's why I got to say
Oh, that's right. He couldn't. He found everything else. He found those pink snowballs.
Oh, yeah. That was like a heartbreaker for the man. Such a fun movie. The sequel wasn't too bad. I didn't know there was a two until a couple of weeks ago, and I caught that one. Not too bad. Not too bad. A couple nods to the first movie, which was good, but the same cast. Tonight we got Family Theater, Mysterious Traveler, and Crisis.
Three fine tales. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All stories of survival. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and hello to Fogsbane and good old Bob that joined us in the chat.
Gentlemen, welcome. Plenty of room. All the neighbors, wake the kids. It's going to be fun tonight. And we should probably start off with the family theater. Hmm?
Yeah, it is the family hour, so yes, we should do that.
Yes, Sunday night. We should be watching Disney, Ed Sullivan, Lassie. But instead, we'll listen to family theater. It's called A Matter of Time.
Mm-hmm. And it is episode number 347 and comes to us from November 18th of 1953.
Family Theater presents Jeffrey Hunter and Barbara Rush.
What a rush, man.
From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents A Matter of Time, starring Jeffrey Hunter. Barbara Rush will be your hostess.
Thank you, Tony Lafrano. Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we are to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family.
And now to our transcribed drama, A Matter of Time, starring Jeffrey Hunter as Jim Reese.
Kempo Airport, Tokyo. This is the second time I'd been here. The first time is back in 51. Kempo didn't look very good to me. But tonight it's the prettiest place in the world. So long as I never see it again. And I'm going to make sure I don't.
Name, rank, serial number.
Corporal James L. Reese. Yeah, 161-00040.
Right. A lot of zeros there, Corporal.
Yeah. Like I used to tell my top kick, if I had four more of them in my number, I could go over the hill and you'd never even miss me.
I see you still got your sense of humor. How'd they treat you?
Oh, the Reds?
Yeah.
Like they treat everybody. Sinking.
Well, you're headed for home at last. Say hello to the States for me, will you?
Yeah, I'll do it. Any seat in particular here?
Anyone but the pilots.
Thanks, Sarge.
Good luck to you.
Same to you.
Papers and ticket, ma'am.
Here you are.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Samuel A. Gunderson?
That's right.
Is Colonel Gunderson traveling with you, ma'am?
No. No, he's not.
The reason I ask is this is a two-person permit. The colonel isn't going to use his part of it now. The Air Force will credit him with it.
Colonel Gunderson won't be coming back. He was killed in action.
Why? Sorry, ma'am.
Can I get aboard the plane now?
Oh, yeah, of course. Any seat, ma'am. Take your choice.
Thank you. Oh, Sergeant, what time do we arrive in Manila?
About 7:30 tomorrow, ma'am.
Thank you.
Not at all. Your papers, sir?
Yes, sir. Is this an A1 priority flight?
I know, but it's the best you can do in the next 12 hours. Senator?
Congressman. Then we'll be in San Francisco by Thursday morning.
Easy.
Off the record, Sergeant, that soldier ahead of the lady who just boarded the plane, he's been a prisoner of war, hasn't he?
That's right.
Yeah, I thought so. I know the look. I was a PW myself back in 43.
Over here, sir?
No, ETO, German. Just wondered. The boy looked pretty mad at the world.
Well, weren't you, sir?
Not that mad. Even if I was, I've learned a few things since then.
Your papers are all in order, Mr. Stiles.
Oh, thanks. Will you take off soon?
About 5 minutes, sir. Your papers, ma'am?
Here you go, soldier.
Miss Jean Holly?
Yeah, tricky, huh? I used to be Williams, but my agent says everybody's Williams.
Hey, I remember you, don't I? Poussin, wasn't it?
Why, you, not Daryl Zanuck? Yeah, it was Poussin.
With the accordion.
Oh, and the ventriloquist. I, as we say, murdered them in Poussin.
You sure got a great voice.
Well, for that, you get my special underwater autograph.
You going home for good now?
Good as I can make it, soldier.
You're okay, Miss Holly.
Thanks.
You ever play the Coconut Grove? I'll be ringside.
I'll be looking for you. Hey, when does Scal get airborne?
About 2 minutes. Better get comfortable.
Oh, I'm going home. That makes me comfortable enough. Well, see you, soldier.
I looked around at the rest of the people in the half-empty transport as we left the ground at Kempo. And then I shut them out of my mind. See, that was the deal I'd made with myself as soon as the Reds told us we were going home. Shut out everything and everybody that reminds you even a little of this nightmare until you step off the train at Syracuse. Well, that was the deal. The trouble is, people just won't let you keep that kind of a deal with yourself.
Cigarettes, Sergeant?
No, thanks, no.
Ladies?
No, thanks.
Oh, here, I'll take one if you don't mind.
Well, by all means, yeah.
Thanks.
I guess you're pretty glad to be headed home, eh, Corporal?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me introduce myself, since no one else can. Lawrence Stiles, House of Representatives.
How do you do?
Hey, a congressman, huh?
Just a freshman. You're Miss...
Holly. Jean Holly.
Oh, glad to know you, Miss Holly. Don't believe I got your name, Corporal.
It's Reese, Jim Reese.
Well, that covers just about everyone but you, ma'am. Hmm?
Well, my name is Gunderson. If you don't mind, I have a splitting headache.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, miss. I've got some aspirin right here in my briefcase.
Oh, no. No, thank you.
Well, if you need any, they're right here.
You been over here long, Congressman?
Just a few weeks. Inspection tour.
All I thought it would be with me when I first signed on to do a little singing.
Oh? You an entertainer?
Yeah, that's what my agent keeps telling me. Like we've been touring the bases since last March.
That's a great work you show folks are doing over here.
Little enough.
How about you, Corporal? I understand you were a PW.
That's right. You mind if I don't talk about it?
Well, not at all.
Well, I know how you feel, soldier. Things like that, you just want to forget.
I want to, anyhow.
It's only natural. Don't be surprised, though, if you change your mind about that later.
wanting to talk about it.
Mm-mm. Not me, mister.
That's the way I felt after the last war. 18 months in German stockade. You change, though. You get the picture in better perspective after a year or two.
And what good's it do you then?
Well, for one thing, it teaches you that nothing in this world comes without a struggle.
I've already had my struggle, thanks. I'll get somebody else the next time.
If my husband had felt that way, he'd still be alive. So would a lot of men.
He was killed in Korea, Mrs. Gunderson?
He was shot down 3 days before the truce was signed.
Oh, gee, I'm awfully sorry.
I'm sorry too, lady, but one war is enough for anybody. I say the next time they try anything funny, we push the button and send them all up in smoke.
Well, one thing, it'd sure settle the argument in a hurry.
I don't know if it would or not.
Hmm?
Oh, now, look, you politicians are all alike. What comes over a guy when he gets to be a public figure? 10 years ago, you were a soldier, huh?
Captain, tank corps.
Okay, now when you came up against a column of German tanks, you blew them up. You got them out of the way, didn't you?
Well, we tried to.
All right, sure, but what do we do now? Someone gets in our way, and instead of knocking it out, well, we sit around and scratch our heads like a lot of professors.
Hey. Hey, you hear that?
What?
I heard it. One of the engines.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's all right now.
Well, I'm sure the pilot would send someone back to tell us if there was anything really wrong. Don't you think so, Corporal?
Yeah, you'd think so. Conversation kind of died down after that. One by one, we dozed off. I don't know how long I slept, but it was still dark when I opened my eyes again. It took me a couple of seconds to realize that the congressman wasn't sitting where he should have been. And then I noticed the sound of the engines. Hey, what's going on?
Well, they've been missing like that for the last 10 minutes.
Where's Stiles?
He went up to talk to the pilot. We've run into a storm.
Oh, brother. Will you look at it outside? That's as black as a cat.
Hey, what did he say, Mr. Stiles?
We've been blown off our course.
How about the engine?
Well, the starboard engine's practically useless. The pilot says we've got a chance, though, if we can fly out of this storm.
Well, aren't they in radio contact with the base?
Intermittently, but the signal's pretty weak.
Oh?
You mean they may have to ditch this thing?
It's a possibility.
Oh,
they think we'd better put on our life belts just in case.
Yeah, but how can we get out of here if we crash? Why, the porthole...
Take it easy, Miss Holly. The loading doors come off. You see these levers on the side?
Yeah. Oh, well...
Hey, Corporal.
Yes, sir?
This looks like a life raft. Any idea how to blow it up?
Oh, I think it... Oh, yeah. Yeah, this gizmo. You push it in.
Oh, same as the belt.
Yeah, but I wouldn't inflate it in here, though. These things blow up pretty big.
Oh.
Well, big enough to hold all of us?
Well, big enough to hold on to, anyway.
Hey, look! Look outside. The pilot's turned on his light.
Can anyone see how close we are to the water?
Yeah, I can't tell.
The way the wind's blowing, I can't tell if it's spray or rain.
We'd better get ready. He's going to ditch the plane.
How do you know what he's going to do?
The pilot told me if he switched on his lights, that'd be the signal.
No! Huh? White cap!
Where?
I see them!
We're right on top of them.
Yeah, we are.
You better give me a hand with these loading doors, Corporal.
Yeah, right now. Yeah. All right. Okay, hang on to that life raft until we hit, because you'll never find it otherwise.
Don't worry, we will.
All right, now stay back from the door. We'll suck you right out.
Okay, in my sight, mister.
All right.
Let it go.
Keep back from the doorway, ladies.
Yes, we're back.
We're in awful low.
Listen.
There go the engines.
Hang on, we're going in.
Get outside of the water as fast as you can when we hit. The pilot said the plane will tear to pieces in this wind.
Hang on, here we go. I remembered to go limp just a second before we hit. The impact of the landing threw me against the wall of the fuselage, but a moment later, the sound of water rushing in through the loading doors brought me around fast.
Hey,
yeah?
You all right?
Yeah. I might climb my way out of here.
Over this way.
Okay.
How about the women?
They're out in the water with a raft. It's not as rough as I thought. Here, reach out your hand.
Okay. Gotcha.
Gotcha. Come on. This thing's pitching pretty badly.
How about the crew?
They'll be going out the front. Can you make it now?
I'm all right.
Hey, did you find him, Mr. Siles?
Right here. Ah, hey, look. Starting to get light in the east.
I don't see any sign of a pilot in the water.
Any broken bones, Corporal?
Oh, I don't think so.
Here, take him out. We'll pull you in.
No, it's okay. Come I can on. Hang on. All right. We better look for the crew.
All right. Suppose we pull this raft out around the wing first, and then...
Hey, look out! The plane's starting to sink.
Where are those guys? Didn't they get out?
No, they're going under.
Push the raft away from the wing. Yeah. It's starting to turn all up.
Come on, keep paddling. Keep paddling. It goes down. We'll be pulled under with it.
It's driving us.
It's
gone.
Can you see any sign of the crew, Mrs. Gunderson?
No. They must have been trapped inside.
Oh, hold on yourself, honey.
We can't help them now.
Anyway, the storm feels like it's letting up some.
I think you're right. Have you got the slightest idea where we are?
Oh, but maybe... it's starting to get kind of light. Maybe in a few hours we'll be able to see something.
Hey, Mr. Siles. Hey, everybody, look.
Huh?
Where?
Don't you see where I'm pointing?
No. Isn't that over there? Look, something along the horizon.
I can't see a thing. You mean a boat or something? What is it?
No. That long, long gray strip on the water.
Oh,
can't you see?
I see it.
Yeah.
Yes. Where?
It's over there.
It looks like a fog bank.
No, it's too long.
Look,
for that.
Now look, it's clearer.
It looks like a reef. Couldn't it be that?
I don't. Yeah, that's more than a reef, lady. That's land. That's what it is. It's land.
There you go, part one of A Matter of Time.
Glum,
yeah,
glum,
Guy
glum.
The Ghoul joins us here in the studio.
Hey. Hello.
Blay, blay.
You survived.
He did survive.
Did.
Hello, blay, blay.
Hey, CW, blay, blay. Blay,
blay. Hello, Miller. How are you?
I am on the other side of many things, so that's a good thing, I guess.
Does that mean you're invisible?
I could be invisible. What?
I think you're the perfect guy to be on tonight's show about survival, because since I've known
yeah,
you,
right.
Hey, you're a survivor.
I know. I'm just this short of falling off a cliff. But if I did, I'd make it.
You have
and
so
boy,
far?
The stories I could tell. The stories I could tell. That's right. Yeah.
We're telling stories tonight from Family Theater.
Absolutely. Show was 1953, you said, Dave?
Yes, 1953 and 3, yes.
Yes, Barbara Rush, who is our hostess for this show, was at the time married to the star of the show, Hunter. They were spouses, sort of keeping it in the family, yeah.
And didn't he later go on to be Captain Kirk for a minute?
He was Captain Christopher Pike.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Later on, wow. Yep. Later on, William Shatner took the helm. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Jeffrey Hunter's wife, who was not Barbara Rush at the time, wanted special star treatment for him, and Gene Roddenberry wouldn't give into it. So,
yeah,
what did her treatment work out?
Yeah, that must have hurt.
The difference between a Kirk and a Pike is a green dancing alien woman, I think.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking of when I heard the name Barbara Rush come up. Like, thinking of my favorite thing that she has done, and that was a night gallery. It was an H.P. Lovecraft story called Cool Air, and that is one of my faves of the night gallery, and she was just absolutely amazing in that.
Cool. That's a wonderful homage. We lost Miss Rush on the 31st of March. She passed away.
Ooh.
But, yeah, definitely a wonderful actress. And one of the things I liked her in, it's on YouTube. It's Moon of the Wolf, or is it Scream of the Wolf? Anyway, it's with her, David Janssen, and Bradford Dillman.
How about Moon
Werewolf.
Of the Wolf? How about Moon of the Wolf?
Which is public Moon domain, I think.
And I did. Yeah, it is. And I did host that. Yes.
Yep.
I hosted it under the Super Duper Moon. Yeah.
She pops in as the Bionic Woman's mom on the TV show.
Ah. She's everywhere. She's everywhere.
Wow.
And she was also in It Came from Outer Space, or It Went from Outer Space, or I Had a Yo-Yo in Outer Space. No, It Came from Outer Space, 1953.
That also had Russell Johnson in it.
Yeah.
And Ernest Borgnine.
When Worlds Collide. She was in When Worlds Collide.
Yeah, that one too.
That's one of my favorite early sci-fi movies. That's a George Pal.
Yeah.
So you know it's good.
I talked with Dave. Had you guys ever seen the film, the Chamber of Horrors that I showed yesterday? You ever seen that?
I had not seen it, no. But it was a monogram picture there. And that guy that was in there was also the same guy who was in Bloodlust.
Mm.
Yeah, not a whole lot of big stars in that, but it was a fun. Who? What was her name? Oh God, Lily Palmer was in it. Yeah. Sidebar. But Dale, you popped in for a few minutes. I didn't know if you had seen it or not.
I was asleep in minutes. Not because of your show. I'm just old.
Yeah. I hear you, brother. Blah, blah. I'm there, man. So what happened on Friday where I forget where we're at. Where are we? Erie House Radio didn't make it.
Blog
Talk.
Yeah,
it was Blog Talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
made it.
Happened?
Blog Talk didn't show up. we don't know. We know what we're going to do about it. That's for sure. More later.
We're going to strike. Yeah.
So to speak, yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Back to Barbara Rush, she was in Batman as Nora Clavicle. Nora Clavicle. A bone-chilling part, for sure.
Shoulder bone.
I guess. Shoulder, Nora shoulder. Nora shoulder bone. I don't know what that's about, but
I don't know. Let's
that
wrap up this is a good story here we got from Family Theater. Reminds me a little bit of
Lifeboat.
It's going to
get disturbing. It gets even more disturbing. Let's keep going. Blah, blah.
Disturbing I like, so let's wrap up A Matter of Time from Family Theater. Magical.
With the pain continues.
It was land, an island, a tiny twisted strip of coral somewhere in the Pacific. But the sun was high and hot by the time our life raft had drifted close to the island's northern tip.
Can you see any sign of life anywhere out here?
Not a thing.
Yeah, it looks like a big wind. A hurricane maybe hit this place.
Mm.
Do you suppose we'd be safe trying to beach the raft near those shoals?
Well, the way the tide's carrying us, I think we'll land beyond them.
Yeah, look. But there's a sand spit coming up past that cove. We ought to head about there.
Well, I'd hardly call the garden spot of the Orient, but... Oh, brother, it sure looks good to me.
You know, it's strange we haven't seen any search planes so far.
Well, it hasn't been 4 hours since we crashed. And besides, we were quite a ways off our course.
I suppose so.
Hey, you figure it could have been that storm we were in last night that messed this place up so bad?
I suppose it's possible, but I didn't think it was blowing hard enough to do this much damage.
Yeah, not one tree that hasn't been ripped apart.
Look out. Here comes that sandspit.
Well, we're shallow enough here. Suppose we get out and pull the rest of the way, Corporal.
Good enough. Hey! Boy, this is a nice day for a dip. Feels good after cooking in that sun all morning.
See, you swim all you want, Corporal. I'm waiting to see what kind of groceries this little island's got to offer.
Guess we could all use a good meal.
And how.
Okay, let's give her one more good yank, Mr. Stiles. That'll beat you dry.
All right. All out, ladies.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Here we go. Careful,
okay.
Honey.
Okay. Take it.
Oh, it's so quiet. You can't even hear any birds.
Hey, do you notice something about this place? I mean, about the trees and the shrubs along the edge of the beach here?
Huh? Just that they aren't very pretty.
Yeah, but I just figured out why. They aren't green.
Oh, go on. So they're a little faded.
No, but they're almost brown. Well, maybe they used to be green, but they aren't anymore.
Oh, you're right. Well, there's not a green leaf or a plant in sight.
Well, don't you get autumn and winter down here in the islands like any place else?
Not like this.
Let's take a closer look at some of this shrubbery.
Hey, look here. This one, for instance. Oh, I never saw leaves that big turn brown.
You must admit it's odd. This plant feels like...
Well, what happened?
It just crumbled to dust right in my hand.
Yeah, I saw it.
Wait, you mean the leaf?
And half the stalk, look. Such another.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, what kind of a plant crumbles like that just from touching it?
I don't know. It must have been dead.
Well... It looks the same as all these other plants. You mean they're all dead?
Well, that's easy enough to prove. Look at them. Everyone you touch, they turn to dust.
Yeah, but... Well, I haven't found one yet. A dozen all of them, they crumble just like... Like ashes.
I didn't find anything like this. Well, they can't simply be... Look.
What is it?
Look here.
What is it?
Where? Our footprints, coming up from the beach.
Yeah,
but what about them?
Well, look how the pebbles have been crushed, right down to powder. Everywhere we stepped on them.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's just white sand underneath the pebbles.
Do you think so? Look, those are pebbles, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't...
Well, now I'll step on them. Now look what's left when I lift up my foot.
It looks like face powder.
Hey, what have we gotten into here? What gives with this island?
I don't know. It's like one big cinder.
We spent the rest of the afternoon walking around the island. Everything, the trees, the plants, vines. All you had to do was touch them and they turned to dust. It was nearly twilight when we got back to where the raft was beached.
Well, Congressman, what's our next move?
I don't quite know, Miss Holly.
Well, we... Still got some K-rations in the raft. That ought to hold us for another day or so, anyhow.
Yeah, and then what? There's nothing we can eat on this island.
Well, regardless of that, we can't do anything until morning. I suggest we have some of those rations and try to get as much rest as we can until daylight.
You got my vote, Mr. Stiles. Come on, you want to give me a hand with the food, Louise?
All right,
Jim. Mr. Stiles.
Yes, Jim?
What do you think it is?
What do I think's happened here?
Yeah.
I'm... Not sure.
You know what I think?
What?
I think this is where they pushed the button to test the new bomb.
I got to admit, the thoughts crossed my mind.
Well, I was in Japan. I saw Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, so did I, just a few weeks ago.
It wasn't nothing like this. Nothing about it was like this.
You know, nothing I've ever seen is like this.
I don't remember when I fell asleep that night. We were short on matches and K-rations. Don't need any cooking, so we just ate what we wanted cold, and then we dropped off. Maybe I'd been asleep, half an hour or so. Maybe half the night, I don't know. All I remember for sure is that when I woke up, it was still dark. But I could hear the airplane clear as anything. Hey, Styles.
Huh?
Styles, listen.
Huh?
Listen. It's an airplane.
Probably one of the search planes. Giles!
Dad, we hear him. Dad, it's getting closer.
Well, come on. We got a light of fire. They'll never see us in this dark.
Louise, Jane, gather up all the waves and brush you can find.
Right. Hey, you got any matches, Jim?
Yeah, I got them here.
Everything I try to pick up just falls to pieces.
Jim. Yeah?
Try setting fire to the ration wrapper. This stuff won't burn.
Okay.
Can't
even carry it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, hurry. Hurry. It's passing right over us.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Jim, light it up. They'll be gone in another minute.
But I'm trying to.
Jim, well, here, try it on the corner of this box.
Okay.
Well,
oh, it won't catch.
Oh, what's wrong?
Oh, it's soaking wet.
Oh. Why don't you light it?
Well, he's trying to.
What's wrong?
It's soaked. That's what's wrong.
Oh, take it easy.
Listen. The plane's going away. Oh, they didn't see us.
Oh, I'm sorry. The paper just wouldn't light. That's
all right,
Jim.
It's all right. It wasn't your fault.
What kind of an island is this, anyway? Everything on us just dead.
Everything but us.
And we'll be that way ourselves soon, if we don't get out of here.
All right. It'll be daylight in a few hours. Let's pack up the rations and put them in the raft. We'll leave at sunup.
We pulled away from the island later that morning and watched it grow smaller and smaller as the tide carried us south. For 3 days and 2 nights, we drifted. And then, late afternoon of the third day, we saw a plume of black smoke on the horizon. For about an hour, we watched it grow larger and then smaller, until every one of us thought we were seeing things. But it was real. A real Dutch freighter. In fact, the only man on board who spoke any English at all was the ship's doctor.
So?
Yeah.
Ah. Now that sap should make your back feel a little better, huh?
Oh, boy. That sure does. Thank you, Doc.
Now, you, sir... Your eyes, they still burn?
A little bit.
Yeah, let me make stronger the solution some more. Now just keep on soaking them.
All right, Doc.
Now, Corporal, go ahead. Hmm? You were telling me about that island you landed on.
Oh, well, Doc, I tell you, I never saw such a place. Everything...
Jim, I wonder if the doctor would mind getting me another towel for my neck. The salt soaked through this.
Oh, surely not at all. No, I have to fetch some. My linen cabinet is all out of the big one.
Sorry to put you to all this bother, Doctor.
No, not at all, not at all. I must see how the ladies are feeling besides, you know. I'll be back shortly.
What's wrong, Mr. Stiles?
Well, it's just a hunch, Jim, but I don't think we should say anything about the way the island was.
Okay, but I don't see what's the difference. I mean, the whole world knows that we got the new bomb.
Well, it isn't that. It's the island itself.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm not sure it's one of ours.
But... Well, it's gotta be.
No, that's just it. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be at all. Things have happened pretty fast in this part of the world during the last few years.
Yeah, but... But wouldn't we know about it if they'd used one of these islands for a test?
You and I?
Yeah.
Not unless we were told. It's just a thought. I could be wrong.
Well, I sure hope you are.
So do I. But it doesn't really change things much in the long run.
You figure they'll have the new bomb eventually?
Don't you?
Yeah. I guess so.
You've seen what it can do now, Jim.
Well, I never thought anything could do that.
Let me ask you something, then.
I don't know.
You haven't even heard the question yet.
I know what it is. The next time they try anything funny, would I still push the button?
From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you A Matter of Time, starring Jeffrey Hunter. Barbara Rush was your hostess. Others in our cast were Gigi Pearson, Gene Bates, Ted DeCorsia, and Larry Dobkin. The script was written by John T. Kelly, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman, and was directed and transcribed for Family Theater by Lou X. Lansworth. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly of their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is Tony Lofrano expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to be with us next Sunday over most of these stations when Family Theater will present The Thanksgiving Hour, a special hour-long program starring Ethel Barrymore, Pat O'Brien, Keith Brazell, Bing Crosby, Perry Como, Nan Merriman, Marina Koschetz, John Brownlee, and the Roger Wagner Chorale. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is broadcast throughout the world and originates in the Hollywood studios of the world's largest network. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
I'm Marlon Perkins. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
And this is Jim checking the dentures of a crocodile. No, let's see. What do we got going on here? There we go. The moral is some buttons can't be unpushed. There you
go. Okay.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Okay. That's their opinion.
Remember they had that guy Jim who was doing, Marlon was sending him out into the field to do stuff?
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Oh, the poor Jim.
Jim had all the dirty work. Marlon got to just, like, you know, chill in the studio.
Jill, have a martini.
Yeah. Look, here's Jim fighting the boa constrictor. Go, Jim, go.
Yes, yes. Jim, go count the spots on that leopard. Okay.
Oh, jeez. All right, boss.
There was
probably multiple Jims. Jim was being portrayed this week by.
Yeah. Jim, go get the rectal thermometer out for that gorilla. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, it's yeah.
Oh, wow.
One way or another, that would be my last day on the job.
I was a journeyman plumber working with a company. The last job I had was working in a morgue, in the morgue room, the cutting room, in a mortuary where they, the embalming room.
Yeah.
That was awful. That was not fun. You really have to be cut out to work in that place.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Wow, you have had every job in the book, haven't you? I mean, you worked in a
I have
career.
Had many jobs. I have been fired many times. Mm. No, I... 9,628 jobs.
There is this gal that has a YouTube show, and she is so good. She's a mortician, and she does different, like, morbid things and different, like, just like the science of it and everything. But yet she's very entertaining.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know.
That's intriguing. Sounds intriguing.
I forget her name. The lady mortician, I think she is, if I'm not mistaken.
A stand-up comedian that's a mortician, you know, they're all set up for a dead audience. So, yeah, they're all set.
Yep. No, he's really killing them tonight.
That was a disturbing little thing, the Matter of Time Family Theater, about nuclear weapons. And it's a little bit unnerving in that it hasn't really been all that long since nuclear weapons were actually used. And I trust that everyone remembers and they're never used again, because that is a...
I don't know. Yeah. Mankind, I'm not counting on it. I have a dim view.
Yeah.
Some kook somewhere is going to get a hold of one, and that's going to be it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there are kooks out there already.
Yeah. Yes, there are.
If
and we're four of them.
If it wasn't for oil, that thing going on over in the Russia area would be... we'd see a few clouds right now. If it wasn't for the oil, I believe. There's a...
I don't know.
Hard to say.
Well, you don't want... They can't sell irradiated oil. It won't fly.
No.
That's the only reason why that thing's going on over there. It's not about real estate.
It certainly isn't, because... Ukraine, well, not to get into a political debate here. But, let's not. But anyway,
yeah.
Putin the putt. There, I said it. Okay, got that out. I went out on a limb.
An irradiated limb.
We need to start serving ice cream. That's what we need to do.
More ice cream. More ice cream.
Ice cream fixes everything.
It does.
Ice cream for world peace. Ice cream for world peace.
And while you're eating your ice cream, you can enjoy some old-time radio on Erie House, like our next program, The Mysterious Traveler, aptly named The Last Survivor. Ooh.
Yes, something else. Oh, that's what I need in my survival kit. Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots ice cream.
Have you ever heard of
those? Oh, yeah. They have it at our fair every year. They come back with the Dippin' Dots.
Must be a regional thing. Never heard of it down here. Not that it...
It's kind of sort of, I'm surprised, because it was kind of a takeoff of astronaut ice cream.
Oh. It comes in a tube, you squeeze it out.
It's a paste.
Mm.
Here's your sustenance, enjoy.
They're made from exposing the ice cream to dry ice. And then it's made into these tiny little dots, little spheres. And when you eat them, they melt, dip in dots.
Yep.
That
local.
Almost sounds like
my
a disturbing version of ice cream.
It's dip in dots.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh. Anywho, let's get back to The Last Survivor, Mysterious Traveler. Dave?
It is episode number 225. It comes to us from October the 11th of 1940 and night.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler, written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Cogan, and starring tonight two of radio's foremost actors, Ralph Bell and Robert Dryden, in The Last Survivor.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, and it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we journey into the unknown in the story I call The Last Survivor. In a small 6x10 feet radio compartment, a man sits sprawled in the transmission operator's chair. His hair is unkempt, his face bearded. He stares at the panel board before him with vacant, bloodshot eyes. Now and then, as though in a dream, and as if for the thousandth time, he leans forward and picks up a wireless radio phone.
Calling base, San Augustine. Come in, base, San Augustine. Over. Calling base, San Augustine. Come in, San Augustine. Over.
They don't answer, do they?
No, Connors, I'm afraid not. How do you feel?
I'm all right. Colonel, why don't you try another channel?
I've tried them all. Haven't been able to make contact.
Have you checked the equipment?
Yes, to the best of my ability. As far as I can see, it seems to be in working order.
Maybe if you were to help me to my feet, I could double-check it for you.
No, Connors, lie where you are. Don't try getting up. Take it easy.
But I'm a radio man. I know the equipment.
Later, Connors, later. Is there anything I can get you? Food, water?
No. No, thank you, Colonel. It's strange. Just the two of us out here. Like this.
Yes.
What will you do when you're alone, Colonel?
Alone?
I can't last much longer.
Oh, nonsense, Connors. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, do you hear?
Who are you kidding, Colonel? Me? Or yourself? It's a strange way to end up, isn't it?
A strange way to end up? Yes. I remember that day so long ago. So very long ago. I feel as if I were looking back on another age. And perhaps I am. What year was it? 1947? Yes. It was a year like so many the world has known. It was a year of war and peace, of fear and hope, of feast and famine. And I was stationed at the Army Air Base at San Augustine, New Mexico. Chief of the experimental rocket section. It was in the spring of 1947, May 8th to be exact, that I was ordered to report at General Farnsworth's office.
Come in.
Colonel Worthy reporting, sir.
Oh, come in, Dick. Have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
Orders have just come through for you to report to the chief in Washington.
Washington?
That's right.
Have you any idea what it's about, sir?
Yes, I was speaking to the chief just a few minutes ago. Seems they're interested in those spaceship plans you submitted to them.
My interplanet rocket ship plans?
Yes. The chief and his technical staff seem to think you did an excellent job. It started a certain amount of activity.
But, sir, I clearly stated in my accompanying report that a flight into space is impossible at this time. The fuel just doesn't exist that can power an interplanet spaceship.
It seems that you're wrong, Dick.
Wrong?
Yes. According to Professor Marais, atomic power could make your interplanet ship practical. And if anyone should know, it would be Professor Marais. He helped develop the atomic bomb.
You mean he's interested?
So I understand. The chief's going to ask for an appropriation of $20 million for the development and construction of an atomic-powered spaceship. You and Professor Marais are to work on the project jointly. How soon can you leave?
I'll be ready in an hour, sir.
There'll be a plane at your disposal.
Good luck. Thank you, sir.
Well, I've looked forward for some time now to meeting you, Colonel.
Thank you, Professor Murray. Why did you become interested in my plan, sir?
As you know, I am one of the scientists who helped develop the atomic bomb. It was a terrible responsibility. And we scientists must answer to a great extent for its use. I'm hoping that through a successful spaceship, mankind will turn to peaceful uses of atomic energy.
I understand, sir.
I've studied your plans with minute care, and the ship you've blueprinted is a masterpiece of design.
Thank you, Professor.
Oh, not at all. You deserve praise for your work. Now, as for the fuel problem, I am convinced atomic energy is the answer.
But, Professor, what about the radiation danger, if it were used?
We would have to design and construct an engine that would be a complete unit in itself, and completely sealed off from the rest of the ship. Now, according to my calculations, very rough calculations at the moment, the ship would have to achieve an acceleration of 4H to reach a velocity of 8 miles a second, at which speed it could attain enough momentum to...
A little over 2 years later, the completed XIP-1 was wheeled from its hangar in San Augustine, New Mexico. Its towering cylindrical body rose 240 feet into the air, and its silver nose pointing skyward gleamed under the strong sun. The field was cleared of all personnel, and from a concrete observation control tower 2 miles away, Professor Murray and I prepared to send it on its first test flight.
Well, Dick, this is it. The culmination of all our years of work. There's the XIP out there ready for flight.
Yes. Well, the next few hours will tell all. Huh. Field's been cleared, Professor. We're ready to proceed.
Then take over, Dick. I'll stand by. Keep an eye on the observation radar and control crew.
Sound flight warning signal.
Sound flight warning signal.
Switch on control panel.
Switch on control panel.
Switch on tower receiver.
Switch on tower receiver.
Switch on XIP flight radio center.
Switch on XIP flight radio center.
Cut in nuclear jet number one.
Cut in nuclear jet number one.
The ship is hovering, Dick.
Yes. Cut in nuclear jet number two.
Cut in nuclear jet number two.
There goes the XIP. She's taking off.
Instrument reading. Rate of flight, 500 miles per hour. Altitude, 1,000 feet. Rate of flight, 2,000 miles per hour. Altitude, 90,000 feet. Rate of altitude, 4,000 miles per hour. Altitude, 200 miles per hour.
Hour after hour, we traced the flight of the XIP through space. When night came, the ship's flaming tail became visible to the naked eye as it traveled further and further into the infinite. At dawn, after the XIP had flown well over 1,000,000 miles, electronic light signals were sent out to reverse the ship's course and direct it back toward Earth. 12 hours later, the XIP landed safely at the San Augustine base. It was that moment. It was the beginning of a new age. The age of interplanet travel. A year passed, and the XIP made test flight after test flight, flying greater and greater distances on automatic radio instrument control. And finally, the day came when we were ready. Ready to consider the first human flight into space.
Well, Vic, after weeks of discussion with our leading scientists, our objective has been selected.
What's it to be, Professor?
The planet Mars.
Oh. Oh, why Mars?
Oh, for a number of very excellent reasons. Mars is the closest planet to us. Furthermore, it's the planet that we know the most about, as little as that may be.
Mars, that would be a flight of approximately 50,000,000 miles one way.
Yes. How soon do you think the XIP can be prepared for such a flight?
Oh, I should estimate 30 days.
30 days. All right, Dick. We'll set September 15th as flight day.
Ready for flight, sir. The crew are at their station.
Thank you. Is there anything, Professor, you want to say before we take off?
No, Dick. Everyone's been thoroughly briefed.
Well, then the moment's arrived. Stand by for flight orders.
Stand by for flight orders.
Sound warning signal.
Sound warning signal.
Fasten safety belts.
Fasten safety belts.
Switch on flight vision screen.
Switch on flight vision screen.
Establish contact with base.
Establish contact with base.
Cut in nuclear jet number one.
Cut in nuclear jet number one.
Cut in nuclear jet number two.
Cut in nuclear jet number two.
We're off.
Instrument reading. Flight distance covered. 5,000 feet. Time, 5 seconds. Flight velocity, 600 miles per hour. Flight distance covered. 80,000 feet. Time, 9 seconds. Flight velocity, 2,000 miles per hour.
With each passing second, the XIP gained speed, carrying us ever faster towards the edge of the Earth's gravitational field. All was silent in the command room, except for the voice of the control officer reading the instrument panels. As the 8-minute flight mark approached, we reached the zenith of our speed. The professor blacked out, held from falling only by his safety belt. One by one, the technicians and crew members lost consciousness. And then I, too, found my vision failing. And all became black. When I regained consciousness, I found other members of the crew already recovered and at their stations. The professor was slowly coming to as I got to my feet. Instrument reading.
Flight distance covered. 15,000 miles. Time, 27 minutes, 30 seconds. Flight velocity, 26,000 miles per hour.
How do you feel, Professor?
Oh, my heart's acting up a bit, but I can't expect too much from it at my age. Everyone else all right?
Yes, everyone came through fine. Professor, look at the flight vision screen. You can see the Earth, 16,000 miles behind us.
As a scientist, I knew what it would look like from this distance. And yet, it's incredible. You can see the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and the North and South American continents from pole to pole. Half the world.
Yes. It's like looking down on a small globe of the world.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Are we holding to our course, Dick?
Oh, yes, Professor. The automatic instrument controls haven't deviated a hairline. We're dead on course.
Good. If our calculations are correct, in 76 days, we should reach Mars.
A rather abrupt ending there to that segment as the Navy head to Mars.
Who knows? Well, Gar knows. He listened to it.
Oh, yeah. Odd understanding is that with all the space flight that we've had, they could be akin to flying a kite in the fact that we've always been tethered to Earth. We have never gotten to the point in our space travels of being divorced from the planet, headed to another planet that might actually have a sustainable environment.
Yeah.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Well, maybe maybe Elon or Bezos will get us there.
Well, yeah. We've got to go beyond the propulsion we're using in order to get the speed we need.
You need a bigger slingshot. Ask the coyote.
We need a Yes. Acme slingshots. They'll do it any day.
Acme would be good to go.
Yeah, you can order them online.
You can be the pilot for that one, for the Acme.
I think Amazon sells them. Yeah.
Oh. Amazon. Direct from Acme.
Yeah.
We
need
our rating.
It's called the science fiction FTL, faster than light drive. We need that kind of propulsion to get out of our own little system to actually run across a Goldilocks planet like the Earth.
All right.
Yeah, either that or find travel through a wormhole.
Yeah. The thing with that is we would have to, and I was thinking about this, is they say the problem with wormholes is they're not stable. They don't stay open. They open, they close. They open, they close. Mm-hmm. And they say that the amount of energy it would take to keep one open is crazy. But
you need a big phone booth.
There's got to be a way you could use a big phone booth, again, from Acme,
yeah.
Amazon.
No. The one that Bill and Ted used.
Or a TARDIS. A TARDIS would be very fun. But if you could use the energy of the wormhole to keep itself open, that would be the easiest way to do it, instead of coming up with enough power to make it stable. But
so there's,
I was watching
there's space
Sliders
worms.
Not that long ago.
There's space worms making little holes?
Yeah, it's weird. Why is that even happening? What's up with that? I mean, black holes. Yeah, black holes draw stuff in. There should be the opposite of a black hole where you've got stuff spewing mass and matter out somewhere.
Maybe there is. We haven't found it yet.
Yeah,
again?
Yeah,
we need to get out there. We are so small.
We're probably looking at it. We just don't know that it is. And instead of a dark star, it's a light star, and it's doing the opposite. It's spewing out.
We're still dealing with people that think the Earth is flat, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You got the flat Earth.
That much is true.
Yep. But the story isn't falling flat. Let's wrap it up.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Survivor from Mysterious Traveler.
The days and weeks passed, and each was one of discovery, of new knowledge, of sights never before seen by human beings. Excitement grew ever increasingly greater as the flight distance to Mars lessened. Crew members would stand for hours before the flight vision screen, scanning the planet we were bound for. At dawn of the 76th day, we approached Mars. The nuclear jet engines were cut. And as Mars drew us towards her orbit, we prepared to land. Stand by to land on Mars.
Attention, crew members. Stand by to land on Mars.
How quiet it is. It seems strange not to hear the engines after 76 days.
Yes. Switch on radox sender.
Switch on radox sender.
Instrument reading. Rate of descent, 1,000 miles per hour. Altitude, 300,000 feet.
The orbit of Mars is exerting a strong pull toward its surface.
Yes. Switch on retarding jet number one.
Switch on retarding jet number one.
Instrument reading, rate of descent, 500 miles per hour. Altitude, 100,000 feet.
Once we enter Mars' atmosphere, it'll help cut down our speed.
We should be just about entering it now.
Rate of descent, 200 miles per hour. Altitude, 60,000 feet. Entering atmosphere. Pressure, 2 pounds.
That's much better.
Rate of descent, 100 miles per hour. Altitude, 20,000 feet. Pressure, 5 pounds. Hovering. Altitude, 1,000 feet. 800 feet. 600. 300. 100.
Flight completed. Cut retarding jet number one.
Cut retarding jet number one.
Cut radox sender.
Cut radox sender.
Well, Professor, we've done it. We've reached another planet and begun a new age.
Yes. Let's hope that as a result of this flight, atomic energy will be used for peace and not for war.
Well, shall we have a look at this planet? Switch on scanning screen.
Switch on scanning screen.
A moment later, a picture formed on the scanning screen, and we saw the landscape of Mars. As far as the eye could see, there was desert. Wide tracts of brown, barren soil broken here and there by ugly, thorny desert plants. Now and then, a gust of wind would come swirling across this desert, all but obscuring the view. There were no visible signs of life out there. Only great vastness. And great loneliness. It's just wasteland. Nothing but wasteland.
It reminds me a great deal of the deserts of Tibet.
Disappointing, isn't it?
Oh, come now. This is only a small part of Mars. Who knows what the countryside may be a few hundred miles from here.
Yes, that's true. The Martian canals, which we've studied through telescopes on Earth, now we'll be able to see them close up.
Yes, it's going to be a great adventure exploring this planet. Well, we'd better proceed with our preliminary test, Dick. Ascertain what the air out there is composed of, what the temperature is, and 101 other things.
I'll assemble our scientists at once, Professor, and have them go to work. We seem to have accumulated over 1,000 pages of scientific notes almost overnight, Professor.
Yes, we've accomplished quite a bit. The air out there is composed of 15% oxygen, 83.7% nitrogen, and traces of other gases.
Is that sufficient oxygen for us to live out there?
Yes, but you'll find yourself constantly gasping for breath. It'll be necessary to carry along pure oxygen and breathe it in now and then.
I see. When may we leave the ship?
I suggest we start this afternoon. I'll draw up a list of the equipment we'll need. And... what's that?
Our radar alarm. Someone has broken through the radar system. Connors, what zone is this breakthrough from?
Zone 5, sir.
Zone 5. That means 250 miles away. Connors, can you pick up anything?
I can hear something very faintly, sir. Sounds like motors.
Motors?
Well, it looks as if we've learned something else. Not only is Mars inhabited, but it apparently has a highly developed civilization.
Yes.
They're in Zone 4 now, sir. I can pick up the sound of motors quite clearly.
Zone 4.
That means they'll reach us in another 3 minutes. Professor, you've seen my orders. In a situation such as this, I'm to take off and return to Earth.
Yes, I know. What a pity to have come so far and have to return now.
I know, but those are my orders. We can't risk the XIP and all the knowledge we've gained.
Yes, you're right.
Zone 3 has been penetrated, sir.
Stand by to take off.
Attention crew members, stand by to take off.
Cut off radar system.
Cut off radar system.
Cut in nuclear jet number one.
Cut in nuclear jet number one.
Cut in nuclear jet number two.
Cut in nuclear jet number two.
Week after week passed uneventfully as we traveled homeward. Already we were discussing the second flight we would make to Mars and the other spaceships that would be built to follow the path of the XIP.
Well, Dick, there's our own planet looming larger with each passing hour.
Yes. Another 48 hours and we'll be home. I imagine our return will create quite a stir.
Yes. I hope it won't delay us too long in preparing for our second flight.
Well, this flight of ours will have a tremendous effect on mankind.
Yes, and I'm hoping for the better. Mankind can't stand an atomic war. It would be the end of us all.
Well, look at the flight vision screen. Certainly, the Earth appears peaceful enough at this moment.
Yes, but a weapon such as atomic energy...
Professor!
What is it?
The flight vision screen. Look. Huge explosions on Earth.
What? Good Lord.
Look. One explosion after another. Great fires mushrooming up. What is it, an earthquake?
No, Dick.
Well, then what?
Those are atomic explosions.
What? Oh, no, no, they couldn't be.
I was at Los Alamos, Bikini. I've seen atomic explosions before.
Connors.
Yes, sir.
Establish radio contact with San Augustine.
Yes, sir. XIP calling base.
It's horrible.
San Augustine.
Horrible.
XIP calling base.
One explosion after another.
Come in base.
The whole Earth appears to be
San
in
Augustine.
Flames.
Yes.
Over.
It's the end of the world.
Now, don't talk like that. It can't be. Connors, what's wrong?
I don't know, sir. San Augustine doesn't answer. All I hear are explosions.
Good Lord. Why? Why?
Professor, the Earth seems to be disintegrating. Great fiery pieces are being blown into space.
It is disintegrating. The atomic explosions have started a chain reaction. In a few more seconds, the XIP will feel the impact.
You mean out here?
Yes, even out here.
Sound the alarm. All crew members to stations.
It's too late, Dick. Nothing can save us. It's the end of the world and us. Any moment now, there'll be a gigantic explosion which will reach...
When I regained consciousness, 12 hours later, I was lying in the radio compartment beside Connors, the radio man. My left arm and a number of my ribs were broken, and I had a slight concussion of the brain. I pulled myself to my feet and staggered into the command room. The nuclear engines were silent. The ship a shambles. The professor and seven other men in the command room had been killed almost instantaneously. I slowly made my way through one compartment after another. Out of a crew of 42, only Connors and myself were alive. I returned to the radio compartment. Hours later, Connors recovered consciousness. Following his instructions, I repaired the scanning screen and turned on a small auxiliary engine which was still in working order. A moment later, a picture formed on the scanning screen.
Is that Earth, Colonel?
Yes, Connors. What's left of it?
There are still huge fires burning.
Yes.
The whole face of the Earth seems changed. I can't recognize any part of it.
Nor can I.
Colonel, what do you think happened?
I don't know. You and I will never know.
Do you suppose anyone could have lived through it?
No, Connors, no. No one could have lived through it.
I didn't think so. What are we going to do, Colonel?
Do? There's nothing we can do. The XIP is disabled. It'll remain here out in space. We have food and water for 6 months, possibly longer.
I wish I had gone with the others.
Oh, no, no. Don't talk like that, Connors.
What will you do when you're alone, Colonel?
Alone?
I can't last much longer.
Nonsense, Connors. You're going to be all right.
Who are you kidding, Colonel? Me? Or yourself? It's a strange way to end up, isn't it?
Connors. Connors! I'm alone now, sitting here staring at the scanning screen. And as I look at that burning, unrecognizable planet once called Earth, the same question keeps running through my mind. What happened? And why? Why did the Earth explode in fire? Was there anything that I, Richard Werby, might have done to prevent that all-consuming holocaust? And I know that as long as I, the last survivor, live, I'll keep asking myself, why did it happen? Why?
Traveler again. Did you enjoy our trip?
What's that, madam? It's a fearful picture.
I agree. Well, fortunately, it doesn't have to happen and won't happen if we don't want it to. And if... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
Listen for The Mysterious Traveler at its new time next Tuesday night at 7. Listen for Secret Missions next week at this time. And now stay tuned for the latest news. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Here's the latest news. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
The threat is supposed to be enough.
Okay. There
you go. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, indeed.
Yeah. Charlton Heston at the end of the Planet of the Apes. You maniacs. You maniacs.
Yes.
You blew it up.
Yes. It just dawned on me. Back when I joined and signed up and I became part of the military of the U.S., not once did it occur to me, you know, we could nuke ourselves.
Kind of a fun toy that them their nukes.
Yeah. Well, thankfully it's only gotten one rehearsal.
Yeah, it's a kind of a thing you only get to make one mistake, you know.
Yeah. There's that.
But because of the nuclear bombs, we got Godzilla films. I mean, hey.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
And them.
That's the only caveat I can think of about nuclear weapons. Godzilla.
Well, and giant ants. Giant ants, leave them.
And giant ants,
yeah, giant
and giant praying mantises, and giant spiders.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Hulk.
Yeah. Hulk.
Yeah.
Gamma bomb there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the giant behemoth. Don't forget the giant behemoth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Another animated class.
The amazing colossal man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The 50-foot woman.
Oh yeah, attack of the 50-foot woman. There's that too. Oh,
the incredible
yeah.
shrinking man. We got that too.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he went the other way. Yeah.
He went the other way. Yeah, the 50-foot woman, that was, it should have had on the movie poster. The movie poster had all this amazing,
Luke Costello, he did that one, the Bride of something Canyon, Brady Canyon, something like that.
Candy Rock, something, 30-foot Bride of Candy Rock.
Yeah.
Yep.
She got big.
They missed out on an opportunity on the poster for the 50-foot woman. It should have said down at the bottom, don't look up.
How could you not? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the problem with that.
Especially
big
after someone
people.
Tells you not to, then it's like. It's
yeah,
not.
I know. Don't look up. Oh, my gosh.
Then you have to.
Little Billy, don't look up. Oh, I looked up. Oh, no. What the heck was that?
I don't know, but in 50-foot woman, the gal that was the guy was the
foot?
Husband was cheating with was the same one
yeah.
that was cheating with the other guy in Giant Leeches. What's her name? Yvette Vickers.
Oh, okay.
Poor Yvette Vickers.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tragic end. Tragic, lonely end. Poor Yvette.
Yeah. Did the shrinking guy eventually get to the point where he was atomic-sized? Where he was battling Adam?
It is assumed because he goes into a soliloquy at the end about getting smaller and smaller, and will he find other universes, or what will he find, and blah, blah, blah. So it was an open-ended movie.
The Ant-Man and
Spoiler
the Atom
alert.
Both found other universes, yeah.
Yeah, I think Hulk
quantum,
got shrunk
the
down there,
universe.
Too. Yep.
Yeah, and Ant-Man and Wasp, and they found the quantum universe.
Yeah. I enjoyed those films. I didn't think I was going to. Kind of like the Aquaman thing. I've never been an Aquaman fan. I enjoyed the films.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, him going underwater to make the fish go. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, he had like bionic noise.
Yeah.
Action going on.
Underwater belch or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have a little bit more modern story to round things out here. Crisis.
Yeah.
A bit more modern, in my lifetime at least.
Heck, almost bicentennial with the date on there. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Almost.
This one's called The Survivor. And?
Go ahead, Gar.
It has an air date of April 1st. Oh, April Fool? 1976.
No fooling.
403.
The Golden West Radio Network presents Crisis. Suppose the unthinkable finally happens. Suppose man's technology finally defeats him, and the arsenals of weaponry that were devised to make another war out of the question were finally unleashed. This has been a favorite theme for science fiction writers for more than 30 years now, ever since man proved himself capable of wiping humanity from the face of the earth. If, God forbid, such doomsday ever does come to pass, surely there will be survivors, a few at least. What manner of person will be able to survive in a world that has been utterly devastated? This question forms the substance of tonight's tale of crisis.
A mutant.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, see if this thing works. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, let's see if this thing works. Okay, good. Now, I'll get some batteries here, extra batteries. Okay, got those. That'll do me for a while, anyway. Now, I think I'll try this phone. Maybe it'll, No, it's dead. Dead like everything else around here, except me. There's gotta be somebody else, somewhere. Hello?
Hello?
This is Joe Nelson.
Joe Nelson.
This is Joe Nelson.
Joe Nelson.
And I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Tonight, Crisis brings you Robert E. Lee Hardwick as The Survivor.
Before I won't be able to stand it. If the weather gets warmer, I mean, forget it. I can't bury the whole population. Not alone, I can't. And that's what I am. But you know, I am the richest man in the world. I can take whatever I want, anything. Hey, Nelson, how would you like a little jewelry, huh? All right. There, now you just help yourself, Mr. Nelson. Oh, nice selection. Then what good is it? You can't eat diamonds. You know, that was really dumb, Nelson. Really dumb. I mean, you're 2 hours out of the vault and you're acting like a savage. Now think. Think. You collect what you gotta have before this town starts stinking. Here, get a truck. Yeah, a truck. And we'll fill it up and head for the country. Wait a minute. I see something move. Hello?
Hello?
Nothing. There's a guy's coat flapping in the wind. Well, they all died pretty quick. I wonder what kind of gas it was. A nerve gas, must have been. Now, come on, Nelson, get with it. Find yourself a good truck with plenty of gas and get out of here. Oh, we're gonna have a storm. I wonder what the weather forecast. I gotta be my own weatherman from now on, I guess. Let's see what I got in the truck. I got about 20 cases of canned stuff, powdered milk, got some blankets and boots, and some gloves, flashlights, batteries, a lantern. I don't know what more to get tonight, and it's getting dark. And it's gonna storm. Ooh, you know this is one dark city with no lights, no TV, no radio. Hey, wait a minute. What am I seeing in that appliance store? I'm getting sick of the sound of my own voice. You know what I need is some music. Yeah. Here we go. Sale. It says portable tape recorders. Yeah, hey, right. Yeah, well, this one's a beauty. It runs on batteries, and I got enough batteries to last me as long as... as long as I live. However long that's going to be. Okay, now, what kind of music do I want? See what they got here. Ooh. The store was doing pretty good business when the gas came, I guess. I can't hardly walk through the place. There must be 20 or 30 bodies in here. I'll grab some tapes and let's get out of here. Let's see. Old favorites, this one says. Down memory lane. Every song in the world's gonna be memory song for me from now on. Well, I'll just take one of everything I can carry, I guess. Oh, man, is it going to rain? I'm going to find me a nice empty park or something and get away from all these bodies. I'll crank up a little music and try to keep from going nuts. There, that'll do. The university campus, I think. That's a nice open place. Man, when it gets dark, it gets dark. There's not a light. I wonder why the streetlights don't come on. I thought they came on automatically. Maybe not. Well, the storm's over anyway. I'll put the tape recorder on here. Can't even see what the music is. Hey, why don't I put this up on the hood of the truck and I'll build me a nice little cooking fire. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Now, let's see what we get on him here. Oh, yeah. Strangers in the night. Dinner. Of course, the beer was warm. You just keep on singing, Carly, so I can find my way back to the truck. I'm going to see if there's a nice, cozy place in one of these buildings where I can sleep. Some place where nobody's, well, where there wasn't anybody else. Huh? Who's there? Anybody there? I swear I saw something move. Is there anybody there? Oh, by that doorway, something moved. It can't be. I'm the only one who lived through this whole thing. So I was sealed in a vault with its own air supply. So, what's out there?
You are listening to The Survivor on Crisis. We'll be back in 1 minute. Joe Nelson survived Armageddon through the luck of being in a hermetically sealed vault with its own air supply when war erupted on the Earth, a war that ended with a lethal gas attack that wiped all life off the continent. Or did it?
Is there anybody there? I know you're there. You're in the doorway of that building. Look, my God, we shouldn't hide from each other. We need each other. I'm coming to that doorway.
Hello?
A girl? I don't believe it. What are you doing here?
Well, I heard your music. I've been listening.
You've been listening? Do you realize what's happened?
Yes.
I mean, there was a war. There was some kind of gas.
Yes, I know.
But how did you live through it?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Well, how did you?
Well, I work in this microfilm vault, you see. The big one that's about 3,000 feet under the mountain.
Oh.
I'm the night maintenance man there. And 3 days ago, we go into emergency power and air, so I knew something happened up topside. I stayed down there as long as I could before the air went stale, and then I came out. I figured it must have been a hydrogen bomb or... What's your name?
Sharon.
Sharon. Mine's Joe Nelson.
Hello, Joe Nelson.
Oh, that sounds so great. Just to hear another human voice. Talk to me. Tell me about yourself. Let me hear you talk.
Well, what shall I talk about?
Anything. Recite the Gettysburg Address. Oh, she could laugh, too. I didn't think I'd ever hear laughter again. See, that's why I play these tapes, because the silence was getting to me. I honestly don't know how much longer I would have been able to take it. Your name is... Sharon.
Yes.
Sharon. Come with me. I've got a truck. I loaded it with everything I thought I'd need to survive. You can share it. You can have anything you want. Will you come with me?
Yes. Yes, Joe Nelson. Of course I'll come with you.
I've been talking all night. Like sun's coming up. Aren't you tired?
Not really. I enjoy hearing you talk.
Well, now, you got to tell me about yourself.
What do you want to know?
What do I want to know? Everything. Everything. What, are you a student?
No, I was an assistant to Dr. Miles Engel at the university.
What did you do there?
Well, he was working on Synsapien projects.
Synsapien, what's that?
Well, robots. Only very advanced robots that can perform specific functions without monitoring.
Oh. Kind of like those machines that assemble cars, you mean?
Kind of. Only they really synthesize human functions. That's where they got the name for them. Sin for synthetic and sapiens from Homo sapiens.
Homo sapiens?
Man.
Oh, yeah, right.
Only our models could be taught complex functions and then put on a job and never supervised. At least that's what we were trying for.
Well, what were they going to use them for?
Oh, any number of jobs where it was too dangerous for a human to be. Radiation, microwave fields, toxic fumes, that kind of thing.
I didn't know that.
Well, Dr. Engel is one of the... was one of the best men in the country.
Well, I got myself a real egghead.
Egghead? I don't understand.
Well, you. I mean, you're a brain.
Well, thank you. Joe?
Hmm?
Why do we have to go out into the country?
Well, you see, the way I have it figured, it's the only place we can survive. The cities are loaded with dead people. And there's too many to bury. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have talked about it.
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
You sure? Huh? Okay. You got to realize, in the cities right now, all the services are out. I mean, the light, the water, the gas, the sewer. You can't operate a whole city with just two people.
Oh, I see.
See, so I figured our best bet is to settle down in some little farm in the country away from the pollution. There's going to be epidemics in the towns and diseases and plague.
Why?
Why? Well, wait till the rats get loose on all those... Wait a minute. No rats. No bugs. No flies.
Well, not at first. But the gas that killed the animal life may not have killed insect eggs.
I didn't think of that. See? See? You are a brain.
No. Well, you're marvelous to calmly reason out what needs to be done. Oh, Joe, do you think we can make it?
Hey, we gotta make it.
And we will wrap up Crisis in just a few moments. But first, I want to wish a very, very happy third birthday to my little boy, Paladin. He turned 3 today.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And, that means he's, what, 18 years in dog years and Lauren Green years. So that means he's going to be asking for the car keys.
Yeah. Well, he does come with house rules. Here are the collie's house rules. Number one, don't come home smelling of other dogs. Number two, you must feed me every goodie you eat. Number three, don't call me or lead me to a bath. Number four, let me outside. Even though I just came in, there was an area I forgot to sniff. Number five, I can sleep anywhere I choose, even if it means you trip over me. Collies are known for laying in the way. They don't know the word move. Rule number six, don't shush me from barking while you are on the phone. I heard the wind blowing the leaves. Number seven, don't move me while sleeping sideways in the middle of the bed. You have plenty of room on the edge. Number eight, don't think you can leave a room without me. Oh, yeah, he follows us everywhere. Number nine, if it lands on the floor, it's mine. Number 10, you will never pee alone again. Oh, goodness. And number 11, so true. 11, I will use sad puppy dog eyes to get what I want. And he does.
Yeah, that works. It does.
Oh, he's learned how to moan. He lays down and goes, when he wants to go outside, he just makes these sad little noises. He knows what he's doing.
Does he
moves, he bleats, he bloops. He makes a lot of noises, a lot of different interesting sounds. On occasion, he belches.
Like father, like son.
And he had a birthday cake. Yes, that's true. He had a birthday cake. We got him a plain, absolutely nothing on it except for meat and cheese, a cheeseburger. And we stuck 3 little tiny french fries in for the candles.
Okay.
How pathetic. But that was his birthday cake.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Back when I had my doggies, we never did a birthday, but he was always a key feature at Christmas time for gifts.
Oh, yeah. Cats and dogs can be a lot of fun at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think both of my dogs got the understanding of how to unwrap a gift to get to what's inside.
Well, that's cool.
Without eating the paper, they would pull it apart and spit the paper out and, you know, okay,
no
here's
kidding.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Sounds more like
my
a pinata. They give them a pinata.
Yeah.
A pinata.
No, I'd take a dog treat and then wrap it in paper and then, here you go, here's one. They don't know what's in it, but they can smell it. And they go, we're going to figure out that. And they would tear it apart.
That's pretty cool.
It was part of the Christmas video for that Christmas was you get a gift, we'll see what you get. You get a gift, and then Doggy gets one. Let's see what he got and videotape that. And it was
wonderful.
Fun. It was fun, exciting for them. One of my dogs was a mix between a Shar Pei and a Chow. So it had great jaw strength. If you would give him an empty 2-liter bottle with the cap on it, he would get it in his mouth and he'd pop it.
Oh,
a lot of strength.
Yeah, I don't
wow.
leave the cap on. I'm afraid he'll choke on it. But he loves it because he feels like he stole. That's this dog does not know how to play catch. He plays keep away.
Oh, okay.
He loves being like. You know, I will jokingly tell him, you terrible creature, you're bad, and he'll run, and that's the most fun for him. Oh, my God, is grabbing something he's not supposed to and running off with it. He's hilarious.
Yeah, I'd give him the 2-liter bottle sealed, and he'd pop it.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some jaw strength.
I
got bit by that guy, but, man, jaw strength.
That's some kind of chompers. Well, let's think
an idea. Idea for birthday number 4, pinata.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, a meat pinata. Or a treat pinata,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anywho, let's sink our teeth into the final portion of our program from Crisis. The Survivor. That's better. Sorry, Dave. Sorry, Goat.
Dave, it's very quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
No crickets.
No birds.
No dog barking in the distance.
Damn them.
Who?
They killed all the dogs, too. Who do you suppose did it?
Which nation?
Yeah.
I don't suppose it really makes much difference now.
Hey, I just thought of something. If there is any life left on Earth, I mean, besides us, maybe somebody's on the radio. Yeah.
Do we have a radio?
Yeah, in the truck. Listen, Joe Nelson's truck has got everything.
Joe?
Yeah?
If there are others somewhere, are you sure we want to contact them?
Well, sure, why not?
Nothing.
Hey, we got to find out.
All right.
Here goes. No, I'm tuning up and down the dial. There's nothing on the air. Are you glad we're alone?
Yes. Aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm not alone. I've got you. Down in the cellar.
Well, come up.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just come up.
Yeah, what's up, honey?
Come outside with me.
Outside?
Well, hurry.
Don't tell me you found something wrong with this house we picked out. It must have cost at least...
Oh, the house is wonderful. Now, listen.
What?
Well, don't you hear them?
What?
Birds. The birds are back.
That's right. I hear him. How could that be?
Well, the gas that killed everything else didn't penetrate the eggs, and the sunshine must have hatched some of them.
Wow. You know what that means? Chickens. Woo-hoo-hoo-wee.
You like chickens?
I love chickens. Fried chicken and dumplings, chicken cacciatore, eggs, omelet. I love chicken.
You love chickens more than you love me?
Honey, did I ever tell you, even if you hadn't been the only girl in the world, I'd have fallen in love with you if I'd seen you in a crowd.
Well, I'm so glad.
You know, we make a great team, right?
I think so.
I mean, your brains and my muscle. Wait, that reminds me. I was checking our food supply. Honey, I'm going to have to go back into town at least one more time before our first crops come in.
Why?
Well, we need some batteries and a lot more canned goods.
But you said, well, the city's...
I know. I'm just going to have to tough it out. It's been months since it happened. Maybe it won't be so bad now.
Oh, but there could be rats. There's sure to be insects. Joe, well, I just thought of something.
What?
Our robots, our Synsapiens.
Well, what about them?
Well, I could program them to clean out the city.
You're kidding.
Well, they're all right there in the university. They work day and night. They do what they're programmed to do. And they don't quit until there's nothing else for them to do, or until they need recharging.
Well, what do they run on?
Energy cells.
And you know how to make them work?
Well, that was part of my job.
How many are there?
Well, let's see. We'd have to use the older Type C models. They're not as sophisticated as the Type Ds, but they're well proven.
Can we get them going?
Oh, it's worth a try. It's in this room, right down here.
Son of a gun.
There they are, right where they were when I saw them last.
They look almost human.
Well, they have to do human jobs. And believe it or not, we determined that two arms and two legs and five-fingered hands with opposed thumbs were the most practical design to live on the Earth. Well, come on, let's get them started.
Well, Professor, you've got your dummies all working?
Well, they're not dummies, dear. They're highly refined, solid-state, dependable, synthetic servants of man.
You could really use the language, babe. You know that?
No. It's just that I've been through the development of the Synsapiens. Well, if the war hadn't come, the world could have looked forward to a time when there would be no hunger, no poverty, no hard work ever again, or no dangerous jobs. Oh, it would have been heaven.
With zillions of these robots doing the drudgery.
Well, yes. The Type Cs would do the menial work, and the Type Ds would take over the mathematical routine work and the skilled assembly jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they would have been nurses, teachers, pilots.
So what happens to us humans?
But you don't understand. The Type D was going to free humanity to do what it does best, to be creators.
Oh.
But now the Synsapiens outnumber the humans.
Yeah, and shouldn't we send these robots out to start cleaning up the city?
Yes, we're all ready. Type C unit, commence as directed.
That's weird. They move almost like humans.
Yes, they were very close. Dr. Engels would be glad to know they're serving mankind at last.
You really liked Dr. Engels, didn't you?
He taught me everything I know.
Well, hey, it's a nice afternoon.
Yes, lovely.
We don't have anything to do, right?
No, not now.
Let's get out of this place. There's too many bad memories. I should have realized. Come on.
Oh, no, that's all right. It doesn't bother me. Well, it shouldn't anyway.
Well, then come on.
All right, dear.
Hey, are you all right?
Certainly, Joe.
Look, honey, all I want to do for the rest of my life is to make you happy. You know that?
I know that, Joe. And all I want to do is to make you happy.
Well, that's what the Type Ds were here for. Just to make you happy. Are you happy with me, Joe? Oh, Joe, I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want this to happen.
Turned into a dude.
I'll be back in a minute with a word about next week's production of Crisis.
So you say.
The Survivor featured Robert E. Lee Hardwick and Debbie Baker and was written and produced for radio by yours truly, Jim French. Sound created by Warren Berry and engineering by Carney Barton. Crisis is produced at Audio Recording Incorporated for the Golden West Radio Network.
There you go. An Erie House was created by the Erie House Network. And the four of
there
us.
You
yep. Well, we got one more here. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
A family tree that resembles a dead-end street isn't going anywhere.
Godzilla seal of approval.
Uh-huh.
You can't get any better than that. Or at least you don't want to make him mad, that's all.
That's, yeah, that's about the highest endorsement you can get.
So, Dan, yes, what's happening this week on Blog Talk Radio?
On Blog Talk Radio, hard to say. I bet you can't.
How about an Erie House Radio?
I can't see it. I just can't see it. That's right, because we're going invisible next weekend.
Great.
Mysterious Traveler will be back, as well as The Shadow and Suspense on Friday, and another thriller from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Invisibility running rampant.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds suspenseful.
The superpower, one of the favorite superpowers. Do you want to fly or do you want to be invisible? If you're invisible, you can go in the bank, help yourself.
Yeah, the flying's pretty cold up there. I don't know if I'd like to be flying. Unless it was the Human Torch, maybe. Keep myself warm. But
might put you out. You
got
to be careful
with
it.
Yeah.
Like, being a time traveler would be fun.
It would.
Oh, that would be cool.
Even though it'd probably be stupid, I'd have to see the dinosaurs.
Well, I'd go back in time and make knowledgeable investments in the stock market.
Oh, there you
yes.
go.
Yes. Yep, Gar and I are thinking life. I'm thinking that little company known as Apple.
There you
or
go.
IBM, or, yeah.
Yeah, lots
or
and lots
Amazon.
Of them to choose from.
Yeah.
Lots of them throughout
Amazon.
History.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy rich. Filthy
oh,
rich.
Yeah.
Then, after the Invisibility weekend, it's time for the Flintstones. Blog Talk, don't screw it up.
Oh, wow, Flintstones.
Because that's going to be fun, yeah. A Flintstone weekend. The voices of the entire cast of the Flintstones, the major four people, are represented.
Mm. Oh, okay, cool.
Mel Blanc, B. Yep. Benadorette, Gene Vanderpyle, and Alan Reed.
Yep. Yabba dabba doo.
Yeah.
So put the cactus cola on ice. The Flintstones.
Mel Blanc was never part of that? I thought he was.
Oh, yeah, we got Mel Blanc in there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. He
was Barney. He was Barney.
Ah, crazy. Yeah, we
Gene Vanderpyle was Gene Vanderpyle was Fred.
In a dress?
Yes.
Okay.
They were, No, Alan Reed was Fred.
Yes.
And B. Benadryk, she's been all over the place.
Who was the original Fred Flintstone?
I don't recall.
They shot four episodes with him and scrapped them.
I don't know. Yeah. Quickly.
It was Dawes Butler.
Really?
Dawes
Butler.
Oh, wow.
Replaced him with Alan Reed.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Ooh. See you, gang.
No one left.
See you Friday.
And him.
See you. Happy eclipse.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Yeah, don't stare at the sun.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
So I got special goggles for tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to have the opportunity, though, because I will be working. If opportunity presents itself, I might dash and take a quick look, but...
Yeah, I'm working tomorrow, too.
I think a lot of people are going to be begging off from work or taking extremely long bathroom breaks.
A lot of people took tomorrow off, but I don't expect it's going to be busy, so we'll see. Because everybody's going nuts. I hope it's cloudy as hell.
that is the forecast in Northeast Ohio here, that it's supposed to rain tonight here. It'll be cloudy in the morning and partly cloudy when it's supposed to happen. Mostly cloudy. Then about 8 o'clock, the clouds go away. So that's way after the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Very nice. Way to go, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go,
places
Cleveland.
Places where it's supposed to be, premium viewing. Everything, all the rates get sky high. People are charged for hotels and bed and breakfast and Airbnbs. If you happen to be in the area of closest totality, all the prices go up. And no refunds if there's bad weather.
Yep.
The thing is, that the April 8th has been historically a terrible day in Northeast Ohio. It's always, for the last 5 years, it's been cloudy. The 5 years before that, it was pretty much cloudy. So, for everybody to get excited, it's so stinking overblown here that they closed my building. They closed the Goodwill store. They closed all the county offices. They closed all the schools. It's just insane.
The schools just totally freak me out. This is a learning opportunity. Drag the little buggers out there and make them stare at the sun.
Now the learning opportunity would be how to beat the next level of Nintendo or something,
Yeah. Or pretend they're a frog or something. I don't know.
So they're shutting down schools and everything in the area for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're all concerned so much about the overload of traffic that there's going to be and this and that, because everybody's coming to the, and it's not, I just so overblown. I mean, I'll see tomorrow. The fact is I can do what I can from home. I can do it, but it takes longer to do. I'd just rather be there and do it. And I said, I even went Friday and said, hey, if it's cloudy out, can I come in the building? He said, no. You're forbidden to come in the building. I said, great. Okay.
You're
unbelievable.
Forbidden.
Wow.
Forbidden.
A tad over the top. That's a bit over the top.
Yeah.
I would think all the restaurants and gas stations would want to be open.
Well, they will. Those are private businesses. It's the county offices and stuff that are closing down.
Oh, I know. It's just all crazy stuff. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not for the public good. I mean, people have to pay certain bills or they need something from the county or whatnot, or they want to, register to vote or things that you can't do online. I don't know.
Yeah. It's so overblown. Places like Mansfield, Ohio, thinks they're going to get 1 million people crammed into Mansfield. It's not going to happen. Mansfield would literally explode if 1 million people went there.
Mansfield. Yep.
I take it it's a really tiny little township of some sort.
Something like that. It's a small town. It's not super tiny, not like the little town I live in, but
no,
close.
I don't think it's one of the largest 10 cities in Ohio. I don't think it fits right in there.
No, it's smaller than Akron. It's smaller than... All they got is a prison. A haunted
prison. A prison and a closed prison. Yeah.
It's the one they used for Rimshot Redemption or Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption and part of Air Force One. That was the Russian fort or whatever.
Yep. And they have ghost events there too. It's supposed to be haunted.
I did. I took that tour, but I also hosted a show from there.
Ooh.
And
it was a jailbird movie.
It was prison riot. Prison break, prison
sweet.
Riot.
Perfect.
Nicely done. Well done.
Yep. Dave doesn't just fool around with hosting horror movies. He hosts all the movies.
So are you planning another voyage to the Vortex? You said their platform changed, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there. I just have to figure out... I'll probably have to tune in a few nights to figure out how that thing works. I checked it out during the day, and it was just right around 9 o'clock one night. And it's a whole new platform, so it's... still under construction in a way, but boy.
Yeah. The things you got to do to stream video, I tell you.
Yeah. Did you get any video evidence, Dave? Of the spooking?
Video evidence of what?
Of the haunting. The spooking. The stuff going on out there.
Oh, no, but I did take a... And actually, to be honest with you, there's only one time I've really experienced... I've gone through a lot of ghost walks and things like that. There's only one time I've ever experienced anything like that, and that was at the Mansfield Reformatory.
Yeah, Gar, I got to try some way to go on to your Twitch show. To view a Twitch.
Yeah. Well, you'll like it. It's fun. There's a chat. Gar's there live. He responds to you live. Loads of fun.
Yeah. Typically, the entire direction is comedy and having fun and silly stuff. And then in between, there's a horror movie.
I have a recommendation for you, Gar. Because I know you like showing a lot of different stuff. And you had brought up in your intro how, like, sooner or later every show does, like, a Halloween or a spooky show. There's a great episode of Route 66 that has Boris Karloff, Peter Lorre, and Lon Chaney Jr.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They're great.
I think I've got that somewhere sitting around.
I do have that if you need it, Gar. Just let me know.
It's a great episode.
No, I think we've already chicken saladed and it's sitting in the wings with so many other things.
Okay.
Right now we're about 8 shows out where it's the content's there and I just need to bring it in and couple it with other things that might be silly. Last night was torture chambers and haunted castle sort of. It was good fun.
Good times.
Yeah, My Little Margie, and there was a torture chamber and something about ghosts, and then we did the Door with Seven Locks or the Chamber of Horrors from 1940, and that had a torture chamber and kind of castle stuff, and it all kind of fit. It's fun when it all comes together. It really is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of torture chambers, I never understand how, what's his face, Arthur Godfrey and his friends show considered family entertainment after that particular song from last night.
Oh, I know.
I'm sorry, what?
it was this horrible song. It was called Slap Her Down, Dad. Slap her down, Pa. Something like that. It was awful.
Maybe it was one of those things.
Oh, God.
Call me Daddy.
What the heck? I was going to say maybe it was a thing of the times where things don't match up, but that doesn't match up anywhere.
No, that's not okay. Cool. That's not cool.
It was like,
no. That song was not cool in any time frame or any time sphere or any era or any epoch.
Agreed. There were some neighborhoods, though, if a guy got caught beating his wife, man, the rest of the guys in the neighborhood would kick the crap out of him. Tell him we don't want to see that again.
Yeah.
We don't want to see your eyes blacken again, or you're going to get it twice as bad. But no vigilantism. I am not promoting vigilantism whatsoever. But it would be fun.
There were happily, sadly not enough, but happily there were a few housewives who went into the armory, also known as the kitchen, and got the cast iron skillet.
That's right.
And use that
plenty
for
of protection in the kitchen.
For something instead of a flapjack.
You can, with those cast iron pots, you can put a hurting on somebody real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't dent that easily. So, yeah, it's a good reusable piece of equipment.
The skull does, more so than the cast iron.
And then there's also the what is that called? The cutlery set?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cutlery.
I'm surprised there aren't
plenty.
More Bobbitt stories out there than just the one.
Oh, please, no.
Oh, dear.
I'll never forget.
There's only the one. That's it.
Did I tell this story? I was training these telemarketers, and it was one of these shop at home grocery things where like they send the guy over there and they try to sell you a freezer at some exorbitant price, and then they come around and stuff your freezer full of frozen stuff. And we had a special, and these people were my trainees were complaining, "This is too hard. These people won't talk to us." So I'm calling from a calling list. This was quite a long time ago. It was on a piece of paper. And this lady's name came up. It was Bobbitt. And this stuff had just happened in the news. And
wow.
And you will never guess what our special was. That's right, Mrs. Bobbitt. Our wieners are 50%. They're half off. We've slashed them. They're half off. You can get your wieners.
You,
and I kept saying it like that. And I was like, crap in their pants, these trainees. You know, the lady made an appointment for a salesman to come over, and I just put the phone down and strutted out, man. They're all laughing like, get your ass to work. Get your ass
work. I would have been hesitant to show up on that particular account.
Get greeted with the door with a knife, yeah.
Yeah, 50% off the hot dogs. They're half off. We slashed them.
Yeah.
Surprised she didn't just cut things off there, you know?
Perhaps she was planning a weenie roast. And
My goodness. My. It hurts to think about it. The things people do.
Have you mentioned to Gar the possibility of the new platform?
Yes. We're in the recorded part here, but we are get ready to pack your bags.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no bags.
I think we found a new format.
Well, you didn't get your boxes together.
Yeah.
I got no boxes.
Well, what'd you bring all your stuff in with?
Roller skates. That was all I had.
Get your roller skates.
I'll
grab
get
your
my
stuff.
Roller skates.
No,
there
we may have found a very, very, very suitable replacement for this here venue that has been a lot of fun over the years, but they're just too many times they're screwing us up.
A roll bar.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if they'll behave akin to how the cellular companies would sometimes do. You know, you say, I don't care, I have a contract, I'll pay the penalty, but I don't want any more business with you. And said, well, we'll give you 50% off for 6 months.
I don't know. I just don't think I'd do it at this point. I think I've had enough. No anger, a lot of fond memories here, but I just need something that works a little better and more reliable. Dave puts a lot of work into theming up these shows. You know, I like making the little ads and stuff like that, and it's a kick in the nether regions when it doesn't work right. And then you got people like Fogsbane and good old Bob and others that are here every damn night. You know, it's not fair to them either.
That's
so
true. And they take the time to show up in the live chat, and there's nothing live because no one can
hear. The chat about
yeah.
The chat was working, but the radio wouldn't go on.
Yeah.
Right. Dave and I, neither one of us, we tried by phone, we tried by direct connect.
And it wasn't just us. I checked other places that were supposed to be live, and there was nothing there. I checked it early this morning, and there was nothing live at that point either. But they got up and running probably by mid-morning or so.
AT&T
is my
today
provider.
They winked
and they
out while I was prepping. They winked out while I was prepping today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
AT&T, I just switched over to it from them, from another company that could not or would not supply the service that I was paying for. So I switched over to AT&T. The telephone and internet went out on them last month, and they said, oh, we're so sorry, here's $5.
$5.
What does $5 do? But, you know, $5 times the, you know, hundreds or millions or whatever number of customers. That was a squeak on the
in Ohio.
That adds up, but if you're the customer going $5, I can't buy a burger for $5. What are you talking about? $5. You know.
Nope.
Activity and everything just stops. We are so technology dependent. It's insane.
It's a little scary too, I think.
It is.
Technology is cool and it's great, but you better have a backup plan, man.
Exactly.
Just in case things go awry.
Yeah. So many companies would just go, we don't know what to do. We're going to have to shut down. If there was, what do they call that? Some type of magnetic pulse or something like that. If that was ever weaponized. Yeah.
EMP, electric magnetic pulse. Unless you have backups that are in a Faraday cage.
Yes. Everything goes out. And there was a TV show with, what's that name of that girl? I can't remember. It was a female lead in it. And it was all about what happens to society if we have that EMP happen and it just takes out everything.
Suddenly the farmers are going to be in a real powerful position.
We are so based on technology that if supply chains broke down, if this, that, and the other broke down, you know, it was only 80 years ago we were, every family was growing their own food. And now, you know, can't get in the store. We don't know what it means.
I still do. I love it. I love gardening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
for
not just gardening, but cows and pigs and, you know, you would take care of your own stuff, you know.
I can't garden
great.
Pigs and cows. I've tried and it won't come up.
You seriously want me to go out to one of those Army surplus stores and buy about 25 years worth of the freeze-dried stuff?
Oh, the, yeah. Emergency ration.
Yeah.
That would get
boring after a time.
Yeah, well, that's one of the crazy things that has popped up because of all this is you've got all those preppers that are just waiting for the big one to hit.
If I could get my hands on the stuff, I'd have to take up pickling and stuff like that. I'd be growing stuff like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was another part of that 80 years ago. Families were pickling and canning and jarring foodstuffs and putting it away.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I have a potential solution to energy problems, okay? They need to make bicycles in your home, like stationary bicycles, and you generate your own electricity, man. Get on that thing, and it's good for you. It's healthy, and you'll generate electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not enough to power your house, but to support it or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
that's
out there.
I'd be like
power.
Killing kids over here.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people talk about it to keep the grid from going down. Instead of having one whole grid, having substations. So if, say, 5 substations get hit, you can leapfrog onto other stations that were able to avoid going down until the other ones can be rebooted. That way everyone still stays
functional.
On net.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to have solar, and I would have to have connectivity to some
type
of internet.
It don't work in Ohio. Doesn't
solar
pay.
Doesn't? How about wind power? That doesn't work either?
I don't know.
You can get some sun in Ohio, don't you? I mean, some sun.
Yeah, we do get some.
Now, have you seen those guys? They look like they're British. No sun.
Oh,
there's times
the
it's very British. Or,
The solar backpacks, those are cool. You can plug in your smart device and your laptop at the same time. And when you're walking from class to class, you're charging up your devices.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
We got wind, we've got hydraulic, water power, we've got solar. There are a whole bunch of different things that we could be doing. Get energy out of potatoes. There's all kinds of stuff, right?
Peas and potatoes. There you go.
Well, there you go. Quite nice. Please. Gentlemen, I must be away. But
away with yourself, then.
Before we leave, does anyone in this group have a ham radio license?
No.
No.
No, I
had ham
to
have
this
for dinner.
Wanted me to, but yeah. I have a friend who wanted me to, and I just never could. I never could thought I could pass the Morse code test, which is now gone. There's no Morse code test now.
Ah.
Oh, so you don't have to do that .. thing anymore.
Yeah, the only thing I knew was SOS. That's the only thing I knew.
Yep.
Did they teach you that, Gar?
No, there were a bunch of different things. You would have to go into the communications department of the military. They just gave me a gun and was like, have fun.
They have their own frequencies and their own thing that are.
Well, you had radio, you had semaphore, you had all kinds of.
Yeah.
There were lighting stations on the ships that I was on where you would blink lights. That was also Morse, I guess.
Did you have to know how to do all the flags?
No, I wasn't in that department. No.
Did you know how to swim when you went into the Navy?
Yeah, I was a scuba diver going in, so yeah, I was. I didn't know how to swim. I knew how to sink. How's that? Right. Scuba divers. Yeah. I enjoyed swimming. I was like, but I never, not once. You know, did they go, hey, you know, you're a scuba diver. We could use you in the, deep sea demolition or underwater soldering or whatever all that stuff is. Not once, So instead, I was like, wow.
I did not learn my swimming in the military, but I did work a couple summers as a lifeguard. I did a lot. I swam a lot.
For about 3 or 4 years, Go ahead, Garth.
No, I just could never understand why anyone would join the Navy and then not know how to swim. It's like, no, choose another place, man.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can't swim, what the hell are you thinking?
Yeah. Sorry, Dave, go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I'm just saying that I used to do a scout camp for like 3 years in a row. I did the mile swim. And
cool.
grew up in the water because my dad, of course, worked in YMCA. So I had access to pools for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming is great. It's very.
I've always liked swimming. Oh.
It's very freeing. I got to swim in the Pacific when we got married. We got married on Anapali Beach on Maui. And I'll tell you what, there ain't no bluer, clearer water in the world, it don't seem like. That was incredibly blue water, clear.
Wow, nice.
Had you understand how close you were to sharks, you never would have gotten in that water.
I
didn't see it.
I guess not. No. You could get like some fins and some goggles and just you go out with a bag of bread and the most amazing fish come up and you feed them big huge yellow fish.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you just take a side of beef? You know?
No. That's for me. No. No, it was incredible. These fish that would come up to you.
Mm-hmm. No. I had a few experiences with some of the wildlife under there.
But
you got to watch for the one thing you did have to watch for was jellyfish. I never encountered them, but they say it's quite painful.
Oh, the Portuguese man of war, forget about it. Yeah.
Yes, they hurt like hell.
Well, no, they'll take you out. Portuguese man of war, man. End of your story right there. I ran across
my wife's sister got hit by a real little Portuguese man, a real tiny one. But it hurt like hell. She was down for the count for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I think the biggest circumstance about that is it shocks your system so much you kind of close down. And where are you? You're in the water. Well, we're not water beings, so not good.
Yeah, so it's good night. Good night, nurse.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
but I'm going to say my farewell.
Yep. And I'm going to give my little boy a little birthday hug.
Oh, all right.
Happy birthday. And
Mr.
Durante. Mr. Durante, take us away.
Good night.
Heaven's in the car.
And it's time for toodaloo. Every move we make and incontinence. Good night.
Oh, yo.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Mrs. Calabash with her iron skillet.